Welcome, everybody, to episode 21 of the Hot Rod Blues podcast. I am your host, Sean Brereton. To my right is...
Javier Agustin, Bombersteel Custom.
And Sean Young, Kingfish Metalworks. And also got a little action from our producer, Matt Marion. He's going to be kicking in some personality for us tonight.
Right. Say hey, Matt. Hey.
Say hello, Matt. Yeah.
How's it going?
So we are without guest... And without Mike for the second week in a row.
Yes, yes. So Mike is he's out puny this week. We might get lucky. I'm going to try to call him again here in a minute and see if we can get a little phone time with him. But yeah, he
isn't that your normal night?
No, not at all, not at all. But yeah, I'm gonna see if we can check in with Mike. He's been feeling puny. He's got a little bug, so he's dealing with that.
He went up there with them Yankees.
I know, that's what it is. You go to New York, you come back sick.
That's it. You got it, man. Better him than me.
I told him not to go to New York. He wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, it looked fun. It looks like he had a ball, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get to see much.
Well, he posted pictures, the Times Square stuff yeah. and all of that. So yeah. It'll look good. I like New York. Cool place to visit.
Yeah.
You know, without a doubt.
Cool. Well, so he was in New York. I was in Des Moines. I didn't have time to watch his little vacation.
Oh, I gotcha. His jaunt. Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah, so I didn't get to see that much, but.
So I'm working on the pronunciation of Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Okay, just like it's spelled, just like it sounds.
D-U space Q-U-I-O-N.
Man, it looks like a hell of a car show.
It's good. It's a good car show.
Yeah,
it's back in the day. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was where Pro Street was born, and it's a place that you'll see a ton of Pro Street cars, and you know, guys still kind of debut their cars there and stuff. So it's
super cool,
neat.
Man.
And it's special because you know you get to see the legends.
Yeah.
The guys who are. You know, back in the day and when I was growing up, you know,
yeah.
back in late 80s, not early 90s and stuff, that was like Pro Street was the thing that you wanted to do. And
yeah.
and all those guys are there, you know, Rocky Robertson and Matt Hay and
all the names.
Yeah. Trepanier doesn't come back though. I would really like to beat him.
Yeah.
Because like the connection with George and
sure
all that kind of stuff and like whatever that is one guy I still have never met.
I'd like to get him on the podcast.
Yeah,
that should be the goal. Is to pull for Troy. Okay. Troy, if you're watching,
we might have to go up to Illinois to do that.
Nobody's off the table.
No,
I'd like to get Jay Leno on the podcast. Why wouldn't he do that?
Why wouldn't he?
That's a really long drive.
Is it? I mean, he I'm sure he'd like to fly into Memphis and see what's going on. I'll put you up in my place.
If he happens to come, if he happens to come through.
I've got an extra room.
You have an extra wing, don't you?
Wing.
Yeah. Extra wing of your estate.
He can have my son's room. He's in college.
Or he could stay at the Kingfish Metalworks World Headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we could put him in...
On Chelsea.
We could put him in Airstream.
That's right. He could stay in one of my Airstreams. Find there.
I heard it's like $100,000 to get
that's
him. All,
that's also Bombersteel Customs World Headquarters.
World Headquarters.
They're
it's
under
a
the same room.
Just so happens to be the same place.
It's a co-equal partnership.
Yeah, I doubt it's cheap to get Jay Leno to do anything.
It's not cheap to stay in our place, so.
Oh. Yeah, there you go.
It's a protected landmark, you know, that we've got to charge appropriately. Airbnb is going to ask us, you know.
Right.
You got to make up for all the homeless people who did sleep there.
Yes.
What do you mean make up for? That's part of the allure.
The homeless people.
And right over there is where a bum stayed for years.
That's hilarious.
So we're on the National Register of Historic Places with that. So, I don't know.
Tell them what that's about, though, Sean. Why is it there?
Why is it? So I brought this up before.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I'm going to throw some pictures this way because this place was a company called Plastic Products, and it was the record pressing factory for Meteor Records, Stax Records, Sun Records,
yeah. Atlantic.
Atlantic, and a lot of other little indie labels, you know, that you really just have no, maybe you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in its heyday, that was what they did there. And
So when we did that, we did a little walkthrough.
Yeah.
On the Hot Rod Blues Facebook page, and there's like 55-gallon drums yeah. of like plastic pellets.
Yeah, chipping, yeah. chippings. There,
right? We've got to figure out something to do with those.
Oh, yeah. I know what I'd like to do with them.
I know. Javier and I go back and forth about what it's to do with them.
It's not a big argument. It's usually me relenting and being like, I guess they can stay, but they're not paying rent, so we should probably. I know.
Well, I did move them today.
Did you?
Yeah, they're over there today. Yeah, they're...
Well, you know what? You should just heat them up.
And make one big plastic
melt it
big
down, and
cup.
Sean can just step down in it and come back out and be a...
Maybe make a Corvette out of it. You know,
I would love to have another Corvette back in the Please, now, why you got to bring up that? Why,
hey, I know.
I need to make a shift knob out of some of it.
Yes.
Matt, you have like you would have shift knobs for days.
It wouldn't even be that. They'd be hot rod shift knobs with rock and roll history.
Absolutely. Oh, Matt, we need to figure that out, buddy.
Maybe we go into cahoots and we have a limited
Dude,
run.
Dude, I mean, how? Yeah. Are you, I mean, can't you just pour that into your mold?
Yeah, I could heat it up and pour it in my mold.
It'd be record. It'd be
boom.
We could set a record for how many records were made out of.
Matt, you I'm sitting on like 15, 55-gallon drums of this, and you're just now bringing this to the table.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you have these conversations.
Yeah, I got
and this is how
y'all usually don't let me talk.
Right?
Oh,
that's true.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just in case somebody hasn't seen an episode, Matt owns Memphis Shift Knobs, so look him up on Facebook. Memphis Shift Knobs, and he makes some really, really cool vintage shift knobs, and he's done like vintage coins.
Yeah, I'm rocking one right now in the old Ford.
Right,
yeah.
And exactly. He actually made one out of one of these microphones. Right,
it was a different model.
Yeah, just a different model.
Yeah, which is really, really cool.
It lit up. Yeah, are you making any of those? You got any of those on the table right now?
No, not right now.
Not right now. They look tough to make.
They take a lot of work to make.
He's slowed up lately. He's getting a little lazy on the shift knob thing.
Well, you know, I'm building.
He picked up. He picked up somewhere else. Yeah, don't step into my man's
right?
business. Are we here to talk about cars? Or are we here to talk about the fall of his business?
Yeah. Well, no, he picked up on real business. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The boy's actually working now.
Yeah, it is a real business. It just hadn't found the market yet. It's coming.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to get big.
No,
no,
it's just got to be you.
It can stay small.
Well, Matt, I did think of you. I went about a month ago. I think went to the.
I'm glad that you think of me often.
I did.
Yeah.
Then we went to the Discovery Center up in Dyersburg
for a
cruise-in.
Yeah,
they had a cruise-in up there, and we went up there, and so we got to go through the museum. And I've actually never been through a museum before. I was super impressed, and there was one little part of it where they had microphones and through the years, microphones and cameras and all that kind of stuff or whatever, and sitting right next to each other were this microphone, the Shure...
Yeah, 55.
And then right next to that was the one that he has made a shifter out of. I was like, what? That's weird. I mean, they were right next to each other. They were the only two that were like from that era.
Yeah, they were period correct. I mean, they're you sit them next to each other, they're in the same era. They're just two different designs.
Yeah.
It's like Honda and Yamaha.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like those were the two. Like those two were sitting like right next to each other, and there wasn't really anything.
I think out of the two, they're out of everything that was.
Ones.
Yeah. Well, aesthetically, they were the most pleasing to the eye. When you the cool factor is just there. I like the other one for a shift knob. This one, it's a little bulky for a shift knob.
This is the Elvis mic.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one.
Oh, has anybody seen it yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. I want to though. Yeah. I've heard it's really good.
I heard it's great.
I'm probably going to...
But I still haven't heard a lot of buzz out of... I haven't heard as much buzz out of Elvis as Top Gun or Maverick.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to watch Thor before I watch Elvis.
Absolutely.
I'm going to see it tomorrow. I already bought the tickets.
Yeah, why didn't you invite me?
I'm not really into that.
You can come.
I'm doing it right now,
man.
I'm not a superhero guy.
My son and I bought advanced.
Yeah, I'm a big superhero guy.
Are you really?
I've even built a Mjolnir.
What?
A what?
Meow meow.
A mule deer?
Mjolnir. That's Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
It was destroyed. Oh. But if you're following the storyline, it makes a reappearance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's definitely because I sold it to a guy that works at Trek Supply.
Oh, no. I'm talking about in the storyline.
Yeah.
I don't know about the actual one you made.
Yeah. The one I made, he ended up taking it home because it was like, I made it where it was like 35 or 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
So his kids couldn't pick it up. So he sat it on their toilet. to mess with them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they couldn't pee.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's not cool.
You weren't worthy.
You were not worthy to pick it up.
He was worthy of cleaning that up, I'm sure.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the car stuff.
Back to car stuff. So we were supposed to have Mike McCarthy on tonight, we're hopefully going to have him next week. But Mike McCarthy is doing a for anybody local anyway. Mike McCarthy does the Time Warp Drive-In Summer Twin Drive-In or just Summer Drive-In?
I think it's just Summer Avenue Drive-In.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not another drive-in.
It's the only drive-in in Memphis. The Time Warp Drive-In is once a month he rents out one of the screens and does like some B-movie stuff, you know. And
Ed Wood or something.
That'd be cool.
Like,
he's got a Nicolas Cage night coming up.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm interested and excited about that.
I know, right? I just said way too much about
myself. Hey, America.
It may have been this month. I can't remember. It may have been June. In July, he's doing a Corvette Summer night. It's going to be Corvette Summer and American Graffiti.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But, you know, normally I think for the Time Warp Drive-In, he does like four movies.
Really?
You'd be there till 3 a.m.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
But he does like, you know, he'll have punk bands and stuff playing, I should have grabbed the poster in the other room. But
I didn't know this.
Well, include it on the podcast. Yeah. Just give it to Sean.
Yeah, that's right.
Who does all of our audio videos.
That's right.
In post.
B-roll. What am I thinking?
I will do that. Yeah.
I'll give that to you. But Mike couldn't make it. But Mike's very involved in music and movies and stuff.
The name sounds so familiar.
I bet if you saw him, you'd be like, "Oh, I know that guy."
Yeah,
I can tell. You guys you have to run in the same circle.
Yeah, could very well be.
Yeah, right. He's gonna see the Misfits thing and be like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know Sean."
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. Yes.
He loves that kind of music.
And, yeah.
He just loves every
Mike McCarthy. Okay.
Well, we'll save that for next week. Yeah. Mike, I'd love to have you.
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah, you got to make it next week.
Marion, what do you got going on behind the table? Let's hear.
Really were talking about it.
Back to you in the studio, Don.
I fell asleep over here. Y'all bored me. Yeah. No.
All right. Hot rod stuff and go.
Go.
Yeah. Taking delivery of my 32 chassis tomorrow.
Ooh, yes.
Pretty excited about that.
I would be. Yes. I would 100% be.
I saw that.
So you don't have a chassis at all?
Yeah. I saw you posted it. It was all crated up, ready to come.
What'd you say, Sean?
You don't have a chassis at all now?
Will tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're getting a new one.
He never had one.
There never was one?
No.
I had the original Model A chassis.
You did.
It's at the house, and I'm going to end up putting a 32 pinch for Model A.
Where's it coming from?
California, Burbank, California.
What company?
Gary Maxwell that owns Blackboard Hot Rods.
He
is the guy that built all the 32 chassis for all the big hot rod shops in California. Then he branched off and did his own thing.
Like Hollywood Hot Rods and that kind of thing?
Yeah, Kiwi Hot Rods.
Okay.
There's a bunch of big ones that he's done.
Kiwi Hot Rods would be in Australia, wouldn't it?
I don't know. You would think.
It would be in New Zealand.
I'm going to
pipe in here. That's going to be New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm sorry to Aussies and New Zealanders for making that.
Yeah, we think you guys anyway, so you're probably a little pissed.
I know, right? They probably don't like us either way.
Yeah.
But they like pro street cars, though, down there.
Who's that?
How do you know that?
Australians.
Australia loves big blowers.
Yeah, dude. Man. Have you ever seen power crews that they do
down
there?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Really? They put a blower on everything.
Yeah. Mm. So they have some very different rules down there as far as...
What side of the road they drive on?
But like tire size and all that kind of stuff. So like you can't back half a car over there. So
really?
You can't have big fat meat in the rear. Like there's
I'm going to stop you right there. Just break down what you just said. I just want to make sure I heard it.
Back half a car.
You can't have big fat meat in the rear. Okay, big I just want to make sure we got that.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to make sure that's.
So like you can't run big old Mickey Thompson's. They do a lot of stuff like that.
Burnout competitions.
And, yeah, but they do their burnout competitions like here because there's so many laws and or you know people afraid of insurance and all that kind of stuff. Like whenever there's a burnout competition here, they lock the car down. You know, it can't move. So you just sit in one place, then you burn it for 30 seconds or whatever, and everybody goes, woo. Well, down there,
they just
put like a concrete barrier
around. Have a parking lot area.
And they're like, go. And, and you go until you have no tire left and can't move the car anymore.
And it's a donut thing? Or
they'll do donuts, standstill, everything.
Yeah, really?
And, you know, you get judged on... And, like, if you look after a few cars, like, you can't even see the ground. It's just nothing but rubber.
So I want to call out somebody, and I was just thinking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say on one of these shows that I was watching online about how I couldn't do a donut and I had to learn how to do that.
You?
No, not me. No. I am not in that group, okay?
I'm like... Who's calling you out?
I was watching this thing, and it was a car builder, and I was shocked because that's one of the first things you learn, you know?
What? Wait. A car builder was the one saying, I don't know how to do a
donut. And he taught himself as an older, later in life how to do that because he never learned. That just seems strange to me, and maybe it shouldn't.
Now, who was that?
You know, though, I guess... I mean,
I can't tell you. I will later.
Right. Well, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if I've really ever done a lot of donuts. I know how to do one.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I haven't done a lot of them. Oh. I'm not a big fan of just burning my tires down.
Yeah.
like you. Probably.
I will do it just because I can.
Yes. Well, you do it every time you fire the car up. Yeah.
But I always thought that was strange.
I don't. You don't. I don't.
No. I did a lot more when I wasn't really paying for the tires.
That's my thing. It's like I'm paying for the tires.
But, you know, if the moment feels right, of course I'm going to do that. I mean, the moment always feels right. I'm just saying. Right. Like, what I'm saying is if we're all having a good time and it's hot rod and, it's peer pressure, everyone's doing it.
Oh, wait till we all get our cars going.
I don't think I have ever sat and just melting them down.
I've not done that.
I've smoked a whole
year. Yeah, I mean, I've done a burnout, and stuff like that.
I don't really have a desire to because my whole thing is it's usually later at night, and if you blow your tires, now you have a problem.
I did a burnout on a catfish one time in Hernando, Mississippi.
That is some redneck shit.
I'm sorry, it is.
You killed a live catfish?
No, it was in the street, and we had been riding around, and so we just saw it. And
how did it get there?
I don't know. It was
Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's probably that endangered species that can walk on land.
I'm sure, and I killed it.
Yeah,
I killed it.
A mudskipper? I believe you killed an endangered mudskipper.
In my 78 Cutlass, I did a burnout on a catfish.
Did you stop and purposely put your tire on the
catfish? Amen.
There it is.
Amen. Wow. I did that.
And now Pete is going to laugh.
That's probably right. 18, Thanks. 19. No, I was probably 17. I think I was still in high school. But yeah, you know.
Your children are going to be
See, karma comes. I don't.
That's a weird story, I know, right?
I'm not cruel to animals in that way. I know he might have been dead already or whatever.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know.
But here's where. Like,
he was dead.
But I will tell you this. Karma gets me in such a way, and the universe hates me in that way. The spike end of that catfish would have blown my tire. Just for being an idiot.
I'm with you on that.
I'm less of an idiot now because while doing idiot things growing up, catfish spikes in other forms have taken out tires in other forms.
I might be the only guy that's ever done that. I don't know.
It was Mississippi. That was just Tuesday.
That is the most Mississippi thing. Yeah. That could be the most Mississippi thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
That's how I got my Mississippi card.
And y'all talk crap about Arkansas.
I did a burnout on a catfish.
I'm sorry for anything I ever said about Arkansas, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to bring it back to cars, man.
Okay.
I feel it. I don't know why I'm the guy doing this tonight.
I know, but this is weird.
Right.
Let's talk about gas prices.
Oh,
and it's and how it's affecting power tours, how it's affecting going to shows.
I don't think it affected power tour at all.
I don't know, man. Really? I think the
power tour.
The
was,
same reason. Let me tell you that. I know that you're in that going, world, but I will tell you this: it's already affecting the way this group is traveling.
It is affecting car shows.
Okay,
I'm just saying. I don't think it affected power
the
tour. Power tour was slammed.
I mean, I get
every
it.
Stop.
I get it, but I think it still was. It would have been bigger. Post Man. Lockdown for 2 years, people.
So that's a valid point.
It would have been bigger, and I'm telling you this because there were decisions that were made like, we just can't take the RV with the, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that, and we're not driving this. So I'm coming from a place of personal experience from all of us.
Absolutely.
We're having a second guess going to our big trips, which is Trog and Bonneville.
Right.
Which starting out last year, it was like, we're going to do both. It's going to be strong. We're doing everything. And now I don't think I'm speaking for everybody.
No,
just
we're
myself,
doing nothing. Really.
Things have gotten to a point where if
anybody's going to Bonneville, you are. Well, the rest of us might not, but you got to go because you've been throwing it out there.
It's going to be a solo. You know what? I might reach out to Poteet and just be like, hey, man. Coming to you live, correspondence. I don't know. Anyway.
That's it. Hey, you could just do all our voices.
Yeah, I could.
You'd be like, I could. Hands but on Brereton.
To that, back to borrow his phrase, to that point.
Yes.
To that point.
Things are getting weird with even regular, like, so I've got a diesel truck that I run, and I actually had to make a move this week. Yesterday, I told you I went and got the trailer. I didn't even tell you what I went and did.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. What did you do?
I paid cash for a Mini Cooper.
No, really?
Oh, guess they were.
A Mini Cooper.
That thing gets 32 miles of the gallon.
That's not a... That's
and it's a turbo.
I don't hate you for it.
No.
I don't think you would. It's just like, these are the things that are, the decisions that are being made. Like,
because of the because situation of we're in.
That is rather Miata-ish.
It is. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
That takes the Miata thing off the table, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does.
I don't think it does. Let me tell you.
I think it does. I think it does.
Sean, I know you're making a play, and I can see you looking at an out.
Just saying.
How many people does a Miata sit?
Two, yeah, and that's all that needs to be in there.
Yeah.
How many is your little Mini Cooper?
Four. Well, five if you count the middle seat in the back.
Really? Okay.
No, I think it's four. But
I'd like to
got
see.
A little hatch area.
Are you in it tonight?
No.
Okay.
No. I got to replace a clutch in it. That's how I got it so cheap.
Oh, okay. There you gotcha. Go. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah. I thought those things were all automatics.
No.
No.
So apparently there was
five speed?
Six speed.
Six?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Dude, does Miata do that?
What size motor is that?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
1.6.
Ooh,
dual overhead cam. Does Miata?
Oh, wow.
1.8.
Yeah. Dual overhead cam? Turbo? Didn't think so.
I've drank more sweet tea than
you
that today.
You could turbo it.
You could, but it wouldn't be factory.
Many do turbo.
There was a, I'm new into Beamer/ Mini World.
Yeah.
It's a subsidy company of BMW.
So my buddy, Jim, owns Wolfsburg Automotive. They're a Mini Cooper, you know, repair facility. So
I need to talk to you then.
We could.
I might just drop it off. I want to do it because it's fun. So, but if I could get it on the road faster, that'd be the best thing.
So Jim and Pat own Wolfsburg Automotive, and man, they're legit. Jim's an old music buddy of mine and a good dude.
Well, and Pat's a racing buddy of mine.
There you go. Yeah.
So
that's right.
And
yeah.
That's how connections are made.
Exactly.
Right. Boom.
Exactly.
My boy Hobby needs in.
What's the name of that? The place that they work?
Wolfsburg Automotive.
Going down to Wolfsburg Automotive.
Yeah.
Where we give discounts to guys who put our name out there.
Unfortunately, they don't need it.
Yeah.
No, but the guy talking about it does. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're loaded up over
there, man.
They're booked,
man.
Yeah. Well, they moved last year, at the end of last year, to over right across from the drive-in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, man, nice.
I hear it's killer.
I haven't been in it.
Was that on Virginia Run Cove?
No, on Summer Avenue.
I think Virginia Run Cove
is across from the Summer Drive-in.
Good Lord,
that
man.
I don't know.
That I do
next
not,
to Restaurant Supply?
Yes, exactly.
Sure, yes.
Virginia Run Cove.
Right, okay.
Don't look at me crazy.
I'm like right next to the Malco. Or not Malco, Mapco.
Yes.
Across from the Malco, next to the Mapco.
That's Virginia Run Cove.
Wow.
There you go.
See, that's kind of cool, Javier. Good for you, man. I'm kind of excited for you.
He knows all that stuff.
I'm excited for the fuel savings.
Oh, absolutely.
But incredibly fun to drive.
They are.
You've driven one?
I've driven one. I don't own one or have never owned one.
Stick shift?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah.
So there's a, you get into the nuance.
Much like a Miata. which is much more fun.
Only not terrible. I've not driven one and I can tell you that.
Yes.
Anyway, let's stop bashing each other's little baby cars.
When is somebody actually going to take up my offer to come drive my car?
I didn't know that was on the table.
Yeah, nobody said that.
I would love to wreck your car.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bring it.
I would like to.
Well, we'll find out what the next SCCA owner.
Oh, you know what? When I get mine up and running,
let's make that happen.
I'll take the Cooper out to a SCCA.
Heck yeah!
See, I want to take the truck.
Have so much fun.
I want to take my truck.
Come on! Well, you're gonna break it.
How do you know?
Because I know you break everything.
We have trailers.
Yeah, a trailer at home.
Yeah, it's funny. You drive up there with a dry trailer knowing that something's going to be Hey, what'd you bring? Nothing.
Nothing
I'm
yet.
Just waiting for him to break down.
I brought some air just for that guy. Just waiting for him to break down.
Let's do it.
That little Mini Cooper
would probably be fun on an SCCA. I've never done that.
There have been a couple come out there, but... But I'll teach you guys some stuff.
Yeah, I'd love... Yeah, I'm in, dude.
Are Mini Coopers front-wheel drive or rear?
They did have an all-wheel drive version, but this one's front.
Oh, man.
I wonder if my wife would loan me her car to do that. It's an all-wheel drive.
What's she got?
That Durango SRT.
I don't know if you can do SUVs.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you do a pickup and you can't do an SUV?
Yes.
Okay.
Because SUVs just roll over, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Center of gravity. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I mean, certain ones maybe you can, like the SRTs, because they're lower and... Whatever. They may allow it.
It's all-wheel drive.
Yeah. I mean, they might allow it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all-wheel drive is even worse because it'll grab.
there you go.
I mean, it's rollover issues with a lot of those things.
I see.
So
I lucked into this thing. It needs a clutch, but I was looking at all the different ones. And I was looking for a very specific. If you're looking for a car to get to fix cheap because of the gas problem right now. The Mini Cooper kind of fits the bill if you have the patience and the tools. There are two main problems.
BMW.
No. They're tight to work on, like all front-wheel drive four cylinders are, but an alternator issue costs $1,500 to fix.
Whoa. What the hell?
Oh, wow. Ask your friend.
Run on nuclear energy?
Wow.
It's just you got to take so many components off and the hours. The part itself is $300 for an alternator. But it's man hours on there.
Okay.
The clutch, same thing. That's $2,200 to fix.
Because of everything.
And there's different ways to go about it. Either you pull the whole motor and tranny assembly, transaxle. Or you do this weird thing where you drop it out from the bottom if you have the tools. And again, it's tools, time, and whatever. But if you can do that, you can get these things pretty cheap.
I've figured out that having a lift makes so much
better. I would go down on the Pope for a lift. I promise.
There's no need to do that. I talked to Mike about we've actually talking to Mike about getting one.
Okay, sure.
Let's look at that before you commit some kind of weird act of Catholicism.
I thought Mike said that a lift is like sacrilege. We got to fly.
Who
said that? Mike said it was sacrilege?
Yeah. No. I think he was like Abbott? Oh, well, you don't need a lift.
Mike Abbott said that.
There was one time I was like, you should put a lift in here. And he's like, oh, we don't need lifts or whatever.
That's weird because Mike's the one that was telling me about buying that lift I was telling you about.
Maybe he's changed his mind since
I don't know. A lift, I'm always going to say, if you have the option to have a lift, why wouldn't you?
Everyone would take a lift.
Man, a lift and a transmission jack for the lift is a game changer.
Oh,
man.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely a game changer.
And I can store my car underneath his lift.
Yes, storage that you get from that, man.
My buddy Chris got a lift and he's got the... So it's a four-post.
Yeah.
So it's a drive-on.
Where does he keep it? It's not in his garage, is it?
Yeah, it's in his garage over there.
Okay.
He's got a big two-car garage. I mean, it's...
Okay, it's the one out back.
Out back.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So it's got tall ceilings. Yeah. Well, they're not super tall, but they're tall. I think you can go up 12 feet, 11 feet, something like that. You can still stand up under it.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of, you know...
Yeah.
But he got the one, though, that you can... It has the air jack underneath it.
Yeah.
You know, so it rolls back and forth.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. And you can just and
wow.
you know, lift the front, lift the rear.
Man, pretty that's nice. Good. Super cool.
I know. I'm like, I'm coveting in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. By the way, if anybody's interested in my house,
yeah, it's
it's going to be for sale very, very soon.
Why is that?
I finally convinced my wife that
they're getting a trailer home
that we can move out of here and get. We can downsize because really we have the house is pretty big.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd like to get everything on one floor. And gotcha. I want a giant ass garage up
there. Right, right. Every man's dream is a big ass.
So, you guys going to build or are you exactly. looking for out in the country? What are you doing?
Yeah. I think, I don't think we'll be able to build. Just because you have to wait forever. Money wise, I don't know if it, I don't know how any of that works, really. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like, because we'd have to put money into that while we still have this, or we have to get rid of this, move into, you know, something with a
yeah.
Renting right, or whatever. Right. We don't want to go like move twice and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking for something that, that has good space. It either has an existing garage or has a good spot. To put a really
yeah
nice one.
Badass shop.
Yeah.
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 Good for you, man. So, good for you.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of, well, and back to our yeah. shop though. I mean, we've done some major work over there, so it's starting to open up and starting to look like something. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
See, that's my thing though, is like I want it out my back door.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to have to go and because right go now yeah, right now I have a
Where's your Miata now?
It's out in Cordova.
Okay.
So it's about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Out Walnut Grove, and you know I could do stuff out there, but it's just I don't know. It just I would much rather be like, hey, I've got 10 minutes to work on the car or whatever. not that I would ever
yeah.
take 10 minutes because my wife would give me hell about that because like 10 minutes in car guy. Time is like
yeah,
4 hours.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
But like to be able to be out there and work on stuff or whatever and then mm-hmm. her yell at me and say, hey, it's time to get in here, then okay, cool, you know.
I'm with you.
So
I'm with you.
That's just my thing.
Yeah. So Cars and Coffee this weekend at the Edge.
Yeah, Cars and Coffee's at the Edge this yeah. weekend. I actually went to Butcher Shop last weekend and went good. There was it was weird. Just like timing wise, like it kept,
yeah.
Cars just kind of kept flowing through because I think
really
because it was so hot. Like some would come in and you know it'd stay for 30 minutes or whatever, and then they go, and then somebody else would come in and yeah. like so it just kind of kept rolling through.
I gotcha.
And, yeah. So, but a good turnout for how smoking hot it yeah. was.
Dude, this is one of the hotter summers I remember.
It is.
Just to be this, you know, early in July.
Yeah, I mean, like, he'd probably know more about heat than we would because he doesn't wear all that.
My
yeah.
gosh.
Worked 4th of July. It's fire department.
Ugh.
How?
Why you want to pop fireworks in the middle of the day just to hear the pop? But we haven't had rain.
That's a good rain. I don't understand.
We hadn't had a good rain in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty decent grass fire
over there
off of, all night, but during the day, in the heat of the day.
Wow. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't understand that the people that live back here were just, they were doing fireworks at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, they kind of boom, like, I understand, like, if you're
anything.
Just doing M80s or whatever,
right.
firecrackers, but they're doing the big boomers and stuff that go up. Yeah. I'm like, that's, you're just wasting it.
Yeah. So let's give a shout out to Terry. So Javier knows about Terry. So
Terry.
Every 4th of July, you don't watch the YouTube video. Back it up, Terry. Put
Back
it in reverse, Terry. So Terry is a local. So if you're watching this and you've seen the goofy YouTube video, Terry's from Memphis.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Terry's from
that?
Here.
No.
Bill no. Watson. Bill Watson sold him. Sold him fireworks, I believe.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
So wait, Bill Watson sold him the fireworks.
I don't know about those fireworks, but he sold him fireworks this year because I saw a Facebook post and it was like
him and Terry.
Terry's by.
Well, he was a local celebrity at the fireworks thing. Back it up. Back it up, Terry. We'll be at the fireworks stand from this time to this time if you'd like to set him on fire. I don't know what that was about, but he, yeah, that's a thing.
It's just crazy.
Did you know that there's an actual firework that they've named after him?
No.
Yes.
It's got wheelchair. It's got a motorized wheelchair.
Javier, I got the picture. Don't sweat it, brother. It'll be on here.
Put it on there.
Yeah.
It's called the Back It Up, Terry. Yeah. I think it's an 8-shot like mortar shell thing. It's almost disrespectful. Like it's got a empty wheelchair. It's America.
How about it is? I'll just say
it's almost. It's America. You can make fun of people who are crippled and can't get away from fireworks, I guess.
Yeah.
He signed off on it. He's obviously getting some kind of royalties. Yeah.
I'm sure he's fine with it because he gets some money off.
This is supplemental to the disability check, I'm sure.
So, Back It Up, Terry's a Memphian. Good for you, brother. Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
No.
So the biggest thing I've seen on the internet, though, in the last day, I haven't looked at it very much, but it popped up in my Facebook feed a few times, was like there was one family or whatever, they were all sitting there and the guy launches whatever and it screws up and it goes to the right and people are like, oh, and they grab their babies and whatever, and I guess it lit the bag that was sitting next to it on fire and it was like blah, 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 and like
holy crap. This wasn't inside, was it?
No, it was outside.
Okay.
Yeah. But like the bag was sitting like right next to the car, the SUV that was sitting there or whatever.
But it escalated quickly.
Escalated.
Well, I got burned pretty good when I was young. Grant was only, my son was only 3 at the time.
Yeah.
We were sitting probably 50 to 75 feet away from where they were setting off the mortars.
Yeah.
And the tube fell over, pointed right at us. And it was only, I guess, just lucky, quick reaction. This is not braggadocious at all, but I used to play goalie. So it was like this thing was...
Soccer,
that mortar,
or hockey.
Soccer. But my son's sitting right here, no lie. Yeah. And just dad, one of those dad moments. And I put my hand, I got it right, and it would have hit him.
Yeah.
And that thing caught kind of in the mitt, and it burned this hand pretty good. Mm. Like I had a full thickness burn to the palm of my hand. And luckily, the skin, medical fact, write it down. The skin on the palms of your hand and the bottoms of your feet, it's a lot different. You've noticed the texture. It's different.
Sure.
So it healed a lot better, but you could still see like the color is different on that. But it was pretty good. Pretty good burn. That was about 15 years ago.
I didn't do
fireworks anymore.
Well, so I didn't do fireworks this year because last year I got one of my neighbors with one of them. It wasn't my fault. It was a malfunction of it.
And okay.
It shot over, but the weird part is that for the second year in a row, I got my neighbor's daughter, Ashley. Sorry, this is not that funny, but it is funny. Ashley, no,
how many of those have you had?
Ashley, no, Ashley's older, but she, I can't remember how the 2 years ago went, but she was sitting in a chair and one of them came over and hit her like in the leg, And it was funny afterwards. It wasn't funny at the time. But then she was over talking to the other neighbor last year, and it was a 50-shot, like, mortar. It was like the big boy finale thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, the second one that came out went up and just hooked.
Took a left.
And went right at her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it hit her.
Poor girl.
Yeah, hit her and another...
Well, I will be honest. The reason I didn't buy fireworks is strictly because they're expensive.
Yes.
I heard they went really, really expensive this year.
They weren't?
They were.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's expensive this year.
Yeah.
But there was some reason, I don't know. It was probably shipping,
Yeah, yeah.
From China.
It's diesel prices.
That, too.
So I, on my fourth, I, instead of blowing things up, I rejetted my carburetor.
That's okay. Good, cool. Good. So sounds like a good fourth.
How'd that work out?
Good. 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 So perfect. I've got that and I played around with a couple of different timing settings and, I've got a weird little backfire that happens that I think is, I don't know what it is.
Vacuum.
It could, vacuum. Why do you think it's vacuum?
That's usually what happens if you have a carburetor and it's backfiring when you let off.
No, well, yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
Is that what's going on with our forklift?
No.
We have a forklift.
I can't diagnose that.
We have a forklift.
That's perfect
for
Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a 50 caliber.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Single shot going on.
Like loads up.
But it's, there's no cadence to it at all. No. Like, and you don't know if it's going to happen. My favorite thing to do is when people that are new to the shop don't tell them it's about to happen because it's already off Chelsea.
Yeah.
So turn it off. Like TJ, Mike's got this new kid working at his shop, and he was over helping with the gantry the other day. Yeah. And honestly and truthfully, I forgot that he didn't know this.
Oh,
and TJ
God.
Grew up in the hood.
Yeah.
And this thing went off, and TJ ran out the back door grabbing himself to see if he had been hit, and Mike and I are laughing at him. He's like, "Oh, that's how y'all do? You're just gonna say that? Man, that's messed up." And
it does. So my truck doesn't quite backfire quite like the forklift. It just pops a little bit. Matt heard it today. I don't know if it's vacuum or not. You know, I wouldn't think so. Yeah. So
it's probably just like a little exhaust leak.
Could be
sucking it through.
Could be. Yeah. So I'm gonna play with that, but. I tell you, the jets are right. The timing's right. Runs great. You know, tickled. Absolutely tickled.
Are you kind of exhaust? Driving it now?
Yeah.
What kind of exhaust you run on it?
It is just Flowmasters.
Just a flow?
Pair of Flowmasters. I wonder if you coming out of long tube headers.
How far back from the headers are they?
I don't know. Probably 3 feet. 2-3 feet.
I wonder if there's some pinholes. Maybe, is it low to the ground? Could you have scraped?
Yeah, I don't know. They're
if you've
they're
got
new?
A couple of pinholes in the pipe, that'll do that.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, that
maybe the gasket off the header.
Your flange before it's before the muffler, if that's what's
could
happening.
Could be. That's not out of question. You know, Matt rode in it and I dogged it a little bit and it runs great.
Oh, it runs strong.
You dogged it?
No, what? Yeah. Roasted him into second, the whole thing. You
Some
know?
Guy who almost ran through Mike's wall when he came.
I wasn't that close.
Dude, you were like inches.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
You gassed it going in. Like, you can barely park a car from nose to tail without sticking out in the road. And you gassed it when you got into the driveway.
I don't know. Whatever. Right. Words, Sean.
Okay. There were lots of witnesses.
But the big 4th of July thing for me was the bathtub incident.
Wait. This is not OnlyFans.
No, this is okay. Yeah, this is a clean version. So yeah, my supply line blew off the bathtub and sprayed hot water all over the entire, you know, all over the ceiling of the bathroom. It was a mess. And on my way to the basement to turn off the water, I busted my ass and just crashed down a set of stairs going into the basement.
But you slid down butt first.
Oh, like, yeah,
you
dude.
You can go head over heels.
I'm so bruised on my ass. It's just, it's gnarly. But yeah, that's what I did. I had a little truck action, a little basement action. So
that's, first of all, that's very odd that you have a basement in Memphis.
In Midtown.
It's actually not that odd.
Yeah.
Construction in Midtown, that's very common.
Yeah.
Near Central Gardens and over on to Snowden where he's at.
Is it a full basement?
No. No, it's probably about the size of this room.
So, but like, can you stand up in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, my washer and dryer.
A lot of people usually turn them into laundry rooms.
Yeah.
Rarely do you see one like built out for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
They're always like the boiler's down there and there's a laundry room.
That's kind of how my...
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I know that from the fire department. Like, those two appliances plus the boiler are like, you know... That's I deal with that a lot.
I gotcha.
Basement fire is one of the worst things you can do, by the way.
That's how my grandparents' houses were in Syracuse, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They had the laundry room down there. They had their clothesline hanging down there.
But, you know, a lot of those northern houses, I mean, they have, like, livable
basements.
Oh, yeah,
they'll have full-on basements. Mine, but, like, the old ones, like, I mean, my grandparents' houses were probably from the 1800s or something, you know. I mean,
my house turned
super. So they around the time you were born, they built the house. Or?
Yeah, yeah. I was.
I'm 150.
I actually helped.
Yeah,
yeah.
No child labor laws.
No, my house turned 100 years old this year.
Nice.
Yeah, sure did.
Very cool.
Freaky. Yeah, you don't think about that being an old house.
You know, you don't think about stuff like that in general until you go up north like Mike was just at. When I went to Boston,
oh God.
When you walk on some of those streets and you go into some like I went to Paul Revere's house and a couple other places and I was like, these things are ancient by my standards.
And then by American standards.
But you think, and you think thing, that until you go somewhere outside the country like to Europe. Where I've never been to Europe, but I've been to New Zealand and a couple other places, and they're just like when they put the
New Zealand
when when they put the dates on stuff, you're just like
No,
I really do want to travel a lot more. Like, there's some places in South America I'd love to go that are like ancient.
Yeah.
Like like pyramids ancient. Yeah. Like Chile and
Machu Picchu.
Yeah. And, I'd love to do the Inca Trail. I'd love to do all that. That's on the bucket list.
We need to have Rob Rob Wilson on here sometime.
Rob Wilson.
Rob that you know takes pictures for Memphis street
rods
and stuff.
Yeah, with the Mercury. Yeah, that
man.
Yeah,
that dude's been everywhere.
If you hadn't said his last name, I would have known exactly what you were talking.
I may say it. Oh, Wilkins. I said Wilson. I was like,
I know Rob
when
Wilson.
When I said it, that's why I was like low. I was like Wilson.
Something's not right.
Wilkins. Rob Wilkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, but man, he's been. Of course, he was in the military too.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Was he? No, he was the Air Force, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. You were Navy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's the Air Force, but he went a lot of places. But even since he's been out, he travels a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's been to Machu Picchu and like you know
that's so
I like,
cool.
Yeah, I can't outdo him when I'm talking about travel. I mean, he's been a lot of places, so he'd be pretty cool to do. But yeah, that's like we went to New England.
Yeah,
flew into Boston, spent a day or two there or whatever, and then drove up to Maine.
Nice.
And did Acadia National Park and stuff. And up through Maine, like we drove like the coast, not interstate there.
Yeah.
So you go through all these little towns and stuff, and it's just like Javi was saying. There's all these you know all the houses have like the date that they were built on them. It's like 1798, 1760. Wow. You're like, wow, man. Like, because down here in Memphis, I don't know what the oldest stuff is here.
Yeah. Well, the city
that would have been down. Yeah, I mean.
1866?
Oh, it was before that.
No, that's when the city's charter, I think, was. Yeah.
Well, but the area, though, was here before that, probably, because I know that they had Civil War stuff down right there in the Mississippi River. That was 1865.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the incorporation and all that kind of stuff. But there, I mean, like the Hunt Phelan House and
Yeah, but stuff you're looking at infrastructure. It's I mean, you can drive down. I don't know. It's near Union and Manassas area, maybe a little further in from that. Near Victorian Village. Yep. The house isn't there, but I saw a landmarker the other day. I was riding on the ambulance and I looked over, and it was so random. It was a parking lot. Just a random parking lot, but there was a historic marker there, and I could see it. Like, and it was here's the very first place that there was a telephone, like a telegraph line, and it was at a general's house, who's obviously that house doesn't exist anymore. But I was just like thinking to myself that was the very first line, and then I looked over and I could see the silhouette of MLG&W. I was like, if they ever knew what was going to be in place here,
1819.
Right there. 1819.
Right. Incorporated here?
Yeah. May 22nd, 1819.
Look up the Trail of Tears.
Yes.
24% of my genome wants to know when that happened.
That runs...
Highway 64.
Well, actually in Jackson Avenue.
Yeah.
Because there's a sign, which is like right next to my neighborhood, which is kind of crazy.
I guess they took a left. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Because if you look at 64 going towards Fayette County, it's like Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
And I guess... At some point, it takes a left onto Jackson and comes up.
It did. All the signs. And I think about that literally my backyard backs up to Jackson. And I think about that situation happening, you know, right there where I live.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Oh, any city's got its tales. Memphis, and this is what this show's about. It's hot rods and it's blues and it's Memphis history, too.
Yeah.
There's aqueducts and infrastructure underneath the city. You know, like there's a live creek that is... It's old 1800s brick, and we've built a city over that. And that creek still crazy. Does. Like if you go to like Rail Garden, not Rail Garden. What's that other place downtown? It's like a garden. Help me out here.
Carolina Watershed.
No. It starts with an L. Anyway, it's over there near the townhomes.
Yeah.
But that actual creek cuts out, and it's actually the last remaining running creek of. When the city wasn't even a city.
Wow.
That's nuts.
I'll think of the place in a minute. Yeah. If I break into
yeah, I was gonna say
if I break into commercial out. Break
in the middle boom. Of the yeah. Well, down by the Edge District, you know, that area, they're pumping like $500 million into development in that area from like AutoZone Park all the way up to like the Edge District where Commercial Peel Building is and all that stuff. And I think they're calling it the Ravine.
Really?
Yeah. And if you go like... The bridge, there's right where High Cotton is, there's a bridge that goes that you see that alley down underneath it or whatever.
That is
the Ravine. And like that's gonna be a whole a whole entertainment kind of district or whatever. And one of the breweries is gonna be down there. Of course High Cotton Brewery is there, but I think Wiseacre, I don't remember all of them.
I used to work a
whole thing.
I had a temporary job that I worked at a construction company in that ravine, and it is a neat little deal. Yeah,
so it's locked off completely. I took pictures of a car there in front of it because it's really cool. There's some graffiti on the wall and stuff, and but they have like a it's like an industrial fence. Like you don't you aren't gonna hop it or you know whatever and there were some guys that actually came there that were doing construction, I think, on the bridge.
Laughlin Yard.
There you go. Laughlin Yard. Boom. Yeah.
I told you it'd come in. It starts with Nil. Anyway, back to the Ravine. We now return to your regular schedule program.
That's awesome. But anyway, there were some guys that were doing, you know, so I wanted to go down there, but I didn't.
That's cool. I didn't know they were doing anything.
And what I understand that's actually a, it was a railroad through there.
Yeah.
So, because it delivered, you know, goods to Commercial Appeal, like the rolls of paper and whatever else. So, So that's out of the way now. And it's like this wide open place that.
I mean, damn, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it was there, you'd never see it.
No, absolutely not. I had no idea, like, how big it is.
Yeah.
It's not small.
Yeah.
Because I think it also wise off, too. Like it used to go someplace else over toward Madison or something. Yeah.
Well, it's all the lore of the city is funny. The pyramid, which we thought we were going to lose, which I'm so glad we didn't. It's not even embarrassing that it's a Bass Pro now. I'm glad somebody is turning the lights on in that place. But you hear things like they've always got to have pumps running in the basement because it fills up with water. This city was never designed to be what it is.
Right.
They didn't realize what they were actually building. And people have quoted the adage, it's biblical. It was a foolish man that built his house upon sand. And Memphis did that.
Yeah.
No different than they did in Egypt with the pyramids at the riverside. And you go into the theory about why they did that. That's a different conversation. But when you build a city, and my biggest fear from what I do professionally in this city right now outside of our shop is an earthquake. Because we do live along that fault line.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's not just something to scoff at. Like, California does not have the claim to fame on the worst of the worst. They're frequent, but they don't have the worst of the worst. We're actually sitting on probably the worst fault line.
Yeah.
Freaking everybody out.
When the big one happens.
Yeah. But the and no considerations were given to that. Like, to build anything over four stories in the downtown area, if it's new construction... they got to get a core sample all the way down, and they have to drive pylons in 100-something feet just for the infrastructure of that building. And then earthquake preventative measures have to be designed inherently into that.
Yeah.
So now that's what we know now. Think about everything that's down there near the Chiska on South Main. These buildings are 100-plus years old. There's nothing, no consideration. Some of them are heavy oak, heavy timber.
Mm-hmm.
And you're driving by them, and you're like, oh, that's a beautiful building. And I'm driving by, I'm going, that is a nightmare waiting to happen.
No, it's good if it's wood because it'll actually give some.
Yeah, nothing gives like 200-year-old wood.
Yeah. So the, and I'm going to air quote myself to your point.
So, you don't have to say that. It's you.
Yeah, because it's my phrase. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of the St. Jude stuff is, you know, especially on the west side of the campus, is built on what they call the Gayoso Bayou. And it was a legit bayou, and it is, you know, just like Javier says, everything they built is on these great big pylons, and they dig deep, and they run pumps in the basements of those to keep it from flooding. Same thing.
Yeah, it was a swamp.
Yeah.
I believe they, I think the biggest thing that Memphis is going to have when an earthquake happens, what causes the collapse, my theory, and I don't, if there's a geologist listening, please feel free to message Sean. He likes to entertain those conversations.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, do you want to know what my what my college thesis was?
Oh no,
oh, that was it on
earthquake,
was it
earthquake preparedness in Memphis?
No, yeah. Really?
Yeah,
I've read a few, and we have a preparedness plan. I've got my own theory about how that's going to go, but the liquefaction.
Yes.
About four miles in from the river is probably going to be a problem.
Yes.
Just a theory.
Yep.
I hope I'm not here when it happens, but I'm ready and we're ready.
Yeah. Well, so at the time that I wrote my thesis, which was ancient,
100 years ago.
Yeah. So I interviewed many people in the earthquake world, which University of Memphis has a really big earthquake center. And at the time, which would have been 1992-ish, something like that, there was not a single bridge in the Memphis area that had any kind of earthquake provisions.
Yeah, nice.
And so if you were inside the 240 loop and there was a good enough earthquake, you were not getting outside of the 240 loop because there was either water you had to cross, or you had to cross an interstate, or I mean, you
go under a bridge.
Obviously, you would have to walk. Yeah, you would either be under a bridge, or
needing to cross
a
bridge
on a bridge, which you know that would be down, right? Or you would have to go, across water.
Wow!
Stuff. So
oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was crazy when you start looking at it. It's like, wow, you don't even think about that.
You're
know?
Stuck, man.
Yeah, which I think Memphis Bridge was a big eye-opener.
Well, you look at that. Let's talk about that. That's kind of to do with cars, I guess.
Right.
The one of the main corridors through Memphis and one of the main corridors through the country,
through
in the middle of the country, when you're talking about big commerce, is the Memphis Bridge, the Hernando de Soto Bridge. I'm forever and will be impressed with how the old bridge withstood that amount of traffic.
Yeah, after that amount, diverted everyone.
But that's
there.
Just a testament to the quality of steel that was being used and the design. Yeah. You know, the legacy of the designers and the architects of that old bridge it still impresses me when I talk about it today. And I just it's got more culture and history into that bridge, not because it's old.
Does. It's not but as it's, pretty, it's, but man, it's,
I think it's prettier.
Do you?
Well, I mean,
it's riveted together.
Well, the rivets.
I was gonna say I'm it is really, really cool when you're.
I love Art
Deco.
So I love the Art Deco 1930s, 40s, and that's that bridge. And you look at it, and it's got an obscene amount of steel with hot rivets that hold it together.
Yeah.
And that design held true, and it still did, and it took the load for commerce for however.
How long was that? 6 to
it was supposed to be longer, and I was like, please don't rush that. That's if anything, we're not rushing here in Memphis. It's fixing the bridge that carries people across.
Well, the other thing is, though, now is like they fixed the new bridge, but like they're still like, there's design flaws here that are not going to be
in true Memphis fashion. They fixed that bridge and they said, this is probably going to break again. It's like welding something that that fractures because of the design. So they patched it like they do.
Yeah.
So their immediate discussion was, we need to start budgeting for a new bridge, the new bridge.
The new bridge.
But, in Memphis's defense, I think they've been lobbying for a third bridge for a long, long time. And it comes from federal money.
I would be speaking out of turn and completely on theory, but I do know that there were, to borrow your word, provisions made. There was a planning commission back in the day that had a bridge going over in Millington, near Millington, off of 51. There's 385 that comes in, and it just terminates right at 51. And then you've got 240 that just terminates.
385,
It's two. Well, there's 385 towards Millington, and Highway 51.
Right.
And then 240, when it breaks off and goes to Chelsea, where you can go to Millington, that's another ideal spot where it could have shot over.
Right.
So
That 101 connector.
Yeah, in the future of Memphis, I see one or two more bridges, and those are the two spots. I mean,
they've had talks about doing one out towards Tunica that comes over.
Yeah,
from
but
Tunica.
So I think those talks were more in place when Tunica was thriving.
Yeah.
And I hate to disrespect Tunica because it provided a lot of stuff for so long for the tri-state area. It just doesn't have the infrastructure anymore.
But absolutely, the Arkansas side did not want it.
Well, yeah,
because we did. because it would take away the country.
Yeah. And what would it do besides atmosphere. Tear? Yeah. What would it do besides tear up a really beautiful landscape out there? So.
Well, what is it? The interstate that runs north of the city and spits out the Paul Barrett, that is...
Paul Barrett Parkway.
It's 385.
That's 385.
385.
Yeah.
That would be a great place for it.
So, again, they were planning for that, because when 385 actually terminates...
At 51.
51 was never the corridor that they wanted to connect to. Yeah. I believe their plan was to continue past 51, have 51 go underneath it, and they go through those fields, follow over those creeks, and they hit the river and go across the river.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to go all the way to Dyersburg.
Exactly.
Cross. And Dyersburg is a good hour and a half drive.
And you could bypass the city. You know,
100%. It's a great bypass. When something like the bridge breaks down, I think, or it gets shut down for, you know, cultural reasons or whatever it happens, that's a good bypass for the whole city.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I got to say, 385, like, when that was first built, you were like, man, this is so desolate out here. Who would ever think of building this shit out here? Like, why did they do this?
Awesome, man.
So when they built it back, they built it in phases.
Yeah.
And there was, we used to call it the non-Conobon.
Yeah.
Because it was not policed.
Yeah.
If you wanted, Test and Tune was on Paul Barrett.
Well, yeah, that was the, I was going to say that was the south part down there heading toward Collierville and stuff. But like, you know, like when you looked at it, it was like all the way around. And, you know, now, of course, it goes, well, I think it's 269 when it hits down around Mississippi
That's Galloway.
Area.
No, that's Galloway. 269 at 385 and all that.
Yeah, but there's 385 kind of kicks into 269, keeps on going around, right? Toward 55 down there in Mississippi.
Yeah, it spits off into going towards Lamar, Mississippi.
Either way. Anyway, if you look at, like, up around, you know, the Arlington North toward Millington thing, you're like, why'd they build this thing all the way out here? And like, I was on it the other day, and it is, I mean, it's it's not bumper to bumper.
It will be eventually.
Like,
I'm gonna tell you the two things.
Like, this is the outer loop's gonna be.
There's gonna
big
be
time.
A few major warehouses built out in the Galloway area. They've already announced that. But this Blue Oval City is gonna change all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The infrastructure is gonna have to grow, and it will by default.
Yep.
For sure. If you're wanting us to talk about cars,
this is not the episode. But there's going to be a lot of cars on 385.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to the power tour on how many cars got stolen while they were here.
Yes.
Did they?
Five.
That's
you don't want to talk about that, Sean?
Well, no, not really, because like the thing is like everybody because everybody looks at it. And they, especially here, they
say because it was Memphis. That
they
want to
look at it, go, oh, it's Memphis, you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but
blah,
where
things.
Did they?
No, it happens every power tour.
Yeah, but
every power tour and
on the first stop.
It happens every time.
Do they get tighter on the second stop?
I would even make the assumption that the people that are doing this are not from here, and they're following the tour.
Oh yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, major car shows and stuff like that.
Yes,
there are pros that hit there. Now,
yep.
Now here, there were like four Challengers or Chargers that were stolen.
Right? Yeah, that sounds very
and then
specific
there was like,
to Memphis.
Yeah, then there was an older Cadillac.
Memphis.
Like, 78, something, whatever.
You're making a, then, this is the worst case to make this argument.
Well,
it's not because it was in Memphis. No, there was four Chargers, a Cadillac.
I'm just saying, I don't know if it should be called out. Just because it's Memphis.
I don't know,
I mean,
man.
It happens.
That hit list was pretty specific.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, sure, but we have a claim of fame.
Yeah, there was a Suburban.
We should use it.
Broken into. I just...
A break-in doesn't count. We're talking about a gone in 60 seconds. The ladies are dirty.
I'd like to know...
So I can tell you right now, if you're on Power Tour, if you are a tourist driving through town,
it's
and
probably
you
where
are
they
in a
at.
Challenger or Charger,
keep driving.
Yeah, you might want to make sure that thing
Let me tell you,
is
so
super,
tell you
what
super
hotel
secure.
Did they stay at?
They were downtown.
That's a very
they were like
so
at the Haughty in downtown.
Challengers and Chargers in this city, it's like in that is you're asking for it.
Yes,
so much so that the younger guys on the job they love to hot run. That 392 is a beast, man.
Yeah,
and you know, Super Bees. Those are iconic. They're just as iconic now for this generation as they were back then. And if you're not...
But they're using for different reasons now.
Anybody has one out there.
I mean, they're doing slideshows and stupid, you know.
Either way, it's big muscle with big cars, and it's Dodge.
Yes.
So
yeah.
And it's the flavor of the South here. It's Memphis flavor. back to what I was saying, though, the guys at the fire department, we have a real problem with our cars getting broken into.
Yeah, man. Like,
this is an epidemic.
By the way, if you are somebody breaking into any cars at a Memphis fire department, especially
fire departments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, still cops' cars.
Yeah. They've
done that too, but we're a choice. I don't know what it is. I guess they just know.
Well,
we've been told it's because they think we all have guns in our cars. Mm.
Probably true.
I'm not going to say if it's true or not.
I guess.
We're not allowed to have guns on city property. You should know that off the bat. So the twink. But I meant to say tink for the gay community. I'm really sorry, gay community. That wasn't a hit against you. I support you guys.
Sean said you're okay.
Anyway, all twinks aside, where are we going with this?
I just derailed myself. I'm the only one drinking, by the way.
These guys are the younger guys. So back, they're breaking into our cars, but they're also stealing a specific set of cars. That's like a favorite thing on the menu is a Charger, a Challenger, SRT8. The guys take their fuses and all kinds of stuff out of their cars to disable them at night. Like, they don't just have alarms. They pop their hood every night and pull, like, relays and fuses.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the next level.
From what I understand, too, is the Dodges, I guess, are very easy. That they have a box.
Somewhere in the console.
Whatever, and they pull up next to your car with this algorithm or whatever, scanner that'll just do the algorithm, boom, start the car, boom, gone.
It won't start it without that fuse or without that relay.
Right, exactly.
So, and that's the answer to that.
Right. So
nice.
But yeah.
I need a 392 out there if anybody's listening.
Yeah. I need the big Hemi.
What's your address over there in Proctor?
Well, I won't get that information.
I know
they can hand deliver it. It'll be all right.
Yeah. There's a 300 Chrysler that can be started.
It's sitting on North Hollywood
now.
Did you find your keys yet?
I did lock the keys in the Tahoe before I came here today, though.
Have you noticed how that car is not sought after anymore in this city?
No, before you would have gave it like 5 years ago.
They
would have stole it.
It would have been gone.
You
leave that thing on Chelsea. That's the test. You want to find out if your car is not wanted?
Yeah.
Leave it on Chelsea unlocked and see what happens.
We did it a couple weeks ago.
We came back and Matt goes, damn, it's still there.
Yeah. Like, nice.
Yeah, nobody was.
I think they got in it, crank it, and they were like, oh, 300,000 miles? This not worth it.
Yeah, forget it.
Wow.
I don't want to put gas in this.
All right. I do have to give a big shout out to my boys at Art and Speed.
Yeah.
Because I have air conditioning in the Fairlane.
Oh, nice.
To go back to cars, right?
Nice.
Yes. And I talked to Justin out there, and I was like, man, I'm never going to be able to get to put the stupid air conditioning in here. I'm like, can we work out something so that, you know, maybe I can take pictures for the rest of my life and you get it?
You waited until the hottest summer of Memphis history.
Exactly. Like, yeah, because it was smoking. So I was like, dude, can we do something?
Oh, and, I know.
He's like, yeah, man. So he's like, bring it over. We'll take a look at it. And, of course, I gave him a list of like 8 things on top of it. Hey, while you're there, do you think you can look at maybe the motor mounts and this and that and the tailpipe that blew a hole in the tailpipe and it was sounded like
a
VW.
Did you fix that big banging thing when you stab it?
Yeah. Well, no. So it's still. You mean how it falls on its face?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not been fixed yet, and actually, it's gotten worse with the heat. So
wow.
I don't know if there's. I think there's something in the line for the boost reference for the vacuum line. So I'm gonna have to redo.
It's the 5.4.
Yeah, 5.4. Yeah. When you hammer it, it will fall on its face. Like you can't hammer it. You can ease into it.
Yeah.
But man, if you
stab it,
and now like if I take a left-hand turn, it'll hesitate.
Huh.
So
weird.
I don't know. I gotta get a new gas tank.
When was the last time you looked at the fuel pump?
I put it in last year. I put it in before I did Route 66, I think.
And it's the same thing. Nothing changed with that pump.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
It's an intake pump.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I just changed that pump for...
Well, it's true. I mean, maybe the sock fell off of it or something. Who knows? I don't know. I probably need to take a look at that, but...
It's not any fun.
Fuel filter? No. I'd start at the filter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well. Taking a tank out and... Yeah.
Well, that's the beauty, though, of the Fairlane, because it's right there. It's the trunk.
You have an access panel for
that. We just drilled it and put it right there. I can pull it right up out of there.
My Mercury, I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of sticks you, you know, in a weird position as far as putting stuff in your trunk. But if you need to get to the tank.
And we put it in the, put it in the back left corner.
Okay.
Or, you know, whatever. So.
Underneath the trunk, the metal of the trunk, and then it's indwelling in the trunk?
No, so the Fairlane, the trunk is the gas tank, like a Mustang. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a Mustang
flat,
tank.
It's just a flat spare tire would be.
Yeah, it's flat up top. Yep, so it's just flat up top.
Yeah.
And then so we just, you know, put the in-tank pump over there. There was one real flat spot.
Yeah.
Over on the, like, if you're looking at the trunk on the left-hand side.
Gotcha.
And so we put it down there, and, you know, that's the deepest part as well.
Yeah.
And I bought a hydromat for it. That was, I don't know, 12 inches long. And I figured, okay, I'll make that go back straight so that I can get the fuel when you step on the gas and it goes toward the back of the tank.
Yeah.
That's not getting the job done. I don't know if it's like, I mean, I can't blame that. I mean, it could be, you know, that thing is shallow. It's probably only a 12-gallon tank.
Really?
Maybe 13. Like the most I think I've ever put in that thing is 12 gallons.
I would start at that fuel pump and see if it's that easy to get to.
Yeah.
Because that sounds...
See if it's clogged?
That sounds like there's some, like your screen or it's clogged or there's trash in it.
Could be.
I'm very well versed in this. The 51 has got the same delivered cam.
Yeah.
I just did a bunch of stuff to it this week to get it running so I could get it over to our shop and... It wouldn't start. It's never not started, but it's been sitting there with E85 in it for a while.
With no stable or anything in it?
No. So, but I mean, think about this. That thing's body swapped onto a Lincoln chassis, unibody. So it's Lincoln running gear underneath. So that pump is a 97 original factory pump.
Yeah.
Sitting with that.
Yeah,
I think I deleted the pictures, but the all of the lines were vulcanized and the pump had just disintegrated.
Yeah,
it had beautiful stalactites. hanging on the top of it, and I rebuilt everything. It was $50, but that's not the problem. The problem is it's got air ride and it was aired all the way down. If you can't crank it up to get the air, what's the solution?
Don't do air ride.
No, that's a horrible solution. No, you take a cutoff wheel and you figure out where the location of the gas tank is, and then you cut a window
in the gas tank
in the floorboard underneath the seat, and you pull that panel off, and then you address it like that. And that's what I did.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Does it? Or was it less work than having to figure out how to jack it up and drop the tank?
So I didn't realize that car was drivable. So
I drove it onto the...
See, that's cool, man. I didn't realize it was that far along.
I'd say far along the stretch. It's actually... Look, so you can talk all the crap you want, Sean. But that car, and I knew it. I just got involved with all these other projects. That car is the closest thing I got to being on the road. I just got distracted with everything else. I got literally... If I was to drop everything, I could have that car on the road by October.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Squirrel. Yeah.
32 rails.
Drop everything else.
32 rails, Y block. Oh, dang. Look, there's a Mini Cooper.
Let's go do this. Yeah, I got to put a clutch in it first.
I just got to put a clutch in the Mini Cooper. You know, all I got to do with that car, Sean, is get it done. And then it's on the road.
Right? I know. Yeah. That's the same as Justin, 12 other cars.
Well, Justin, they're five. But Justin Art and Speed was dropping that duster off.
Yeah.
He was, I hope he wasn't being cool. He was actually kind of impressed with it. He's like, man, that thing's badass. He didn't realize it ran either. He's like, I thought that was just sitting there. I was like, no. I read it
Which
all.
Which car is this?
This is my shoebox.
The green shoebox.
Have you ever seen my shoebox?
I don't know.
Green, kind of a drab green. It's in Mike's backyard.
It's got a 7-inch chop on it.
The one with the doors that
No?
Mm-mm. Okay, that's a different one.
That's Mike's.
Oh, it's in the very back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah. Not. I think I've seen it from far through the windows.
Yeah. No.
The one that every now and then I'll see you back there, like
making sure the tarp is on it. That's exactly what I. Yeah. Matt's helped me plenty of times. I was like, yep. Damn, that storm blew the tarp off. You want to go help me put the tarp back on? Like, there's electronics in that because it's a newer model car.
Yeah.
But it's running a dual overhead cam, same motor as yours.
Hell, I did not know that.
So yeah, I said, man, check this thing out. One day I'm gonna get it, and it's a wide body because it needed to be. I widened the rear just a little bit, 2 inches. It's nuanced, so it's kind of squished down, longer, and
nice
flared out in the back. And the front's fine, but anyway, Justin didn't realize that it ran either, and I don't think anybody else did until I was like, I'm gonna load this thing on the trailer, and the air ride's aired down, but it'll still run. And I redid all the wiring on it this week just so I could run it, and because I got it in the fuel pump.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, damn, if I want to put the money in the fuel pump at the time, let me just fix the cables for the battery, then the ignition, and it just started cascading. Yeah. Before I know it, I chewed up whole day. But at the end of the day, I put the contact switch, and it fired up, and I drove it onto the trailer.
That's awesome, though, for a day's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we should be able to do donuts with it 2 days.
And I tell you, that would be, you know, your little rally thing, that would be the car for that.
My little rally.
The Mark 8?
Yeah, your
autocross?
Yeah, autocross. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why? I mean, it's a Lincoln Mark 8 yeah. with a shoebox body.
Yeah, but Lincoln, I don't know. I never think of Lincoln being a
it's not
performance car.
It's probably, it's like a Mustang.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it probably pretty
close. I
think
close. They say the same thing about a Fairlane, so.
Yeah.
I do want to autocross Fairlane at some point.
Yeah.
That car will go around a corner. Yeah. I'm telling you, I still, to this day, I have never broken the rear end loose sideways. Like,
yeah.
And I've done like an interstate off ramp.
Yeah.
Like clover leaf kind of thing at 75 miles an hour. And the biggest problem is holding yourself in the seat because it's a bent seat.
Right.
So you're going around the corner and your whole midsection is trying to go the opposite way, so it messes with you pretty bad that way. But that car will go around a corner like nobody's business.
Pretty cool.
I had a Viper, a guy that was in a Viper behind me at one of the exotics cruise things, and we were hauling ass around out in nowhere land. And when we got back, he was like, man, that thing will move. He's like, what's in there? <I'm> like, I was like, but he was like, it's so stable around corners. Like, it does not.
Doesn't have a lot of body roll.
No body roll at all.
I think that would be the problem with the Lincoln.
Yeah.
They make a coilover kit, but you'd have to brace it up.
Yeah.
There's still, it's a factory. It's a longer car. It's a wider car. So
yeah,
the suspension was never really set up for that.
Yeah, my biggest thing is this will be a question for anybody out there in YouTube land or whatever. So the only complaint that I really have about the suspension on other than the fact that the front shock towers are too short, is that everything squeaks on it. Like it's really? You know, Delrin bushings or whatever, and it's like, oh my gosh. If it's warm outside, if it's hot outside, by the time I get to someplace across town and I'm pulling into, like, say, a car show or something, it's like, and like everybody's like, what is that coming in? I'm like, hey, it's just me.
Squeaking.
Yeah.
Squeaking. Like, that's funny.
I don't know. I've heard that you can use marine grease.
Okay.
So you have to take the bushings out, coat them in marine grease, stick them back together.
It's a lot of work.
Like, I would just like, can I shoot a W40?
Well, if I were going to pull those out, man, I'd replace them.
Well, that's the thing. You don't replace them, but...
You still need to add it.
Yeah, you're still going to end up replacing it with Delrin bushings or something, you know?
I gotcha.
I don't know.
So I would like to basically say hello to Eddie Wilbanks. We had your buddies on last episode. So, Eddie, we are thinking about your brother.
Yeah, and we're going to let y'all know that you're going to see the GoFundMe going back out around again. It's slowed down, so we need everybody to please give to Eddie, and we're gonna have some news before too long. I haven't talked to you guys yet, but some news on the Riders reunion. I talked to Larry today.
Okay.
So we'll see.
It's a few things in the works.
There are some things in the works, so we're going to have to do.
Okay.
You know, he's going to finalize some things. He's got some meetings on Friday.
Okay.
And he's going to need some help from us. So, not on Friday, but
okay. Good. Good.
Good. Beyond that, he's going to be needing some help from us. So, the proceeds of the Memphis Riders reunion this year are going to Eddie Wheelbanks. So, and that is something that Larry Nolan is very, very, tied to. It's his best friend, best buddy since
seventh grade. Yeah.
So, hey, I'm behind it 100%. And I think it's going to be awesome no matter where it is, but I think he may have found a place.
Oh, cool.
Good deal.
So we'll see.
Well, guys, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Javier, do you want to...
See if Matty's got anything.
Matt, you've been awful quiet back there, man. What the hell?
We give Matt the opportunity.
It's not that. It's hard to jump in conversation when you're not seeing y'all's face.
Oh,
so you're looking at all of our faces on the screen, then.
That is true.
If anything, you're like a fly.
If I try to go to talk, y'all don't see me. See. You're just watching each other. Y'all go back to conversation. I'm like,
What makes you think I'm actually looking at them?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Matt, I always see you, even when I close my eyes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. In a weird kind of way.
Why don't you take us out, Matt?
Man, you go for it. You do the voice.
No. We're gonna do that. I want you to do it. I'm not feeling it. I want you to.
You're
do
not
it.
Feeling it.
No. Nope.
See, I think Javi is. He keeps skirting this. Like, that's his thing, and he doesn't
want it. It's his thing, and he doesn't want it.
Sean does good at it.
Not right.
Who?
Young.
Yeah. Well, I do
not
what?
Not me.
What do I do?
You do good at the exit.
The exit? Okay. Yeah. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for dropping in. See you in a couple of weeks, maybe a week. Who is our buddy coming next week?
Mike McCarthy, hopefully.
Mike McCarthy. We had also wanted to reach out to the Edge Motor Museum and have Richard Vining come out at some point.
Yeah, so. We definitely need to do that because
I'd like to do that one at the Edge if we can.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, there's nowhere else that's going to be done. I think
that's good for them. It's good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Richard's.
I think he'd be supportive of
him. He's a big friend of ours for sure. Hell, we were the last time we talked about it, and you know how things get crazy. Like it was April 15th or whatever. He's like, "Hey, I cannot do it during tax season, fellas."
I know. I know.
Yeah, sorry. So
I want to bring in Ron Parker and Tim Scott. You know, at some point
we should do them.
Absolutely, especially you know, not to say that you know, I'm not putting down Tim, but Parker is. He's an exceptional human being. Let's just say that. There will be a lot of great pictures coming from that episode. So we'll look forward to having Parker on. So, but guys, that's going to do it for us for this week. So thank you for dropping in. And
subscribe.
What is that? Punch the bell.
You're supposed to smash
that
like
crap.
Smash the like button.
The biggest thing is share it with your friends. You know, like if you guys like this and you think your friends would like it, just hey. Help us out. And if you're on Spotify and all that, rate us. Just rate us good. If you're
probably don't judge us off this episode.
If you're gonna rate us bad, then don't rate it.
We invite you to give us
a good rating. If you have anything else to say, just keep moving.
Thank you. Look at that. Wow.
There you go. Well, guys, thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys soon. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.